Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we present our guest this week, Preston Dennett, I have a couple of announcements to make. One is kind of a sad one. My old friend Tim Beckley, affectionately known as Mr. UFO, died quietly one Sunday evening. He had been in ill health in recent years, and we certainly send our condolences to his friends and his family. On the good news side of it, maybe there's a report in the New York Times headlined, U.S. finds no evidence of alien technology and flying objects, but can't rule it out either. So it admits, apparently, in this report, which will be public later in June, that they can't explain some of these objects, but they don't have what they call proof they're alien, but they can't dismiss it. Let's proceed. We have the one, the only Preston Dennett, who has written quite a collection of books covering UFO sightings, and we'll get to his latest title soon. But hardly a day passes where I don't see some mainstream news outlet, and even some not so mainstream, will publish a serious article about UFOs. In fact, I just saw one early this morning checking on Google News where this particular piece focused heavily on Tom DeLonge and his participation. And the thing that kind of surprises me here is that he has been almost non-existent. The Two of the Stars Academy hasn't really done much, but I guess maybe this was an effort to get his name back into it, because we should certainly take a punk rocker and give him scientific credibility about UFOs. Right, Randall?
Tom. You know, I think it's actually kind of cool that people are interested in it, and when we have celebrities and people who are in the entertainment industry talking about it, I don't think it's necessarily bad. It's a cultural phenomenon. It's okay. But I'm more interested in, like, kind of the guys we were talking about with the SCU, the science behind it as well. I mean, the cultural side is cool. I like it. I'm not knocking Tom DeLonge, but that's not necessarily the kind of news that really grabs my attention, you know, personally.
And I'll be honest with you, if Paul McCartney went up there and said the same things, or Ringo Starr, or Burton Cummings, or John Fogerty, they said something positive about UFOs, I would give it the same amount of credibility.
Yeah, what do you think, Preston? Like, what do you think about the celebrity culture being involved in the cult, you know, the culture of UFOs?
Yeah, I like it. I support it. I think there's a lot of musicians who have come forward. UFOs seem to like them. John Lennon, Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato, Jimi Hendrix. They've all reported encounters.
People who are creative tend to be into UFOs, too. That's the other thing. Like, I dabble in a bit of home recording. I've been in music for a long time. I've been in and out of a bunch of bands. Never really made it very far. But definitely a lot of people I've talked to who are interested in UFOs are the creative types. So, I mean, maybe it doesn't hurt to have somebody in the creative community out there kind of talking about it.
Look at it that way, just having people who are culturally acceptable say positive things about UFOs, that in and of itself is fine. It's not the same thing, of course, as a scientist providing something meaningful or an important political figure or a former head of the CIA. So we have a situation here, and I asked several guests over the weeks, like Jonathan Lace from SCU in the previous week's episode, about this. The fact that two former heads of the CIA, Woolsey and Brennan, both said that this needs to be investigated, needs to be taken seriously. Of course, that goes back to Admiral Hillenkoetter, the first head of the CIA back in the 50s, saying essentially the same thing. the thing I wonder about, maybe you have an opinion about this, Preston, and that is, wouldn't you think that somebody who's at the top of the intelligence heap in this country would know a lot more than he seems?
Oh, yeah. At very high levels of government, this is a subject that's taken very seriously.
So why would a former head of the CIA even have to ask the question, we need to investigate it further? He'd know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a bit disingenuous, I think, because they do know what's going on. I think they're just trying to push this into the public arena and change the way our government has been handling this phenomena, because there's been a policy of covering it up, lying about it for decades. So that's why I'm a little bit, if our government has lied for so long, why are they suddenly reversing policy? You know, why should we even believe what they have to say? Hey, I'm all about change. I'm really glad to see movement, because there hasn't been any movement for ever.
No, and it does sound promising. The constant flow of UFO-related stories is also promising. I mean, there's so many other things that fill the news that it's not like the number one story. It is down there, like, in the middle. But that's fine. That's fine. The thing here is that we're creating, I guess, a set of expectations that may or may not be fulfilled. Will all this bring about some kind of level of disclosure? Or are there 10, 20, 100 different ways that the Pentagon's UAP task force could stop short of the ET framework and just say things that people will say, oh, that's cool, and go on with their business?
Yeah, I think that's the most likely outcome. I think there's probably going to be a little bit of backpedaling on, is this actually extraterrestrial? Because they haven't quite, you know, admitted there's aliens out there. They're sort of stopping a little bit short of that and saying, oh, it's something unexplained. Maybe it's Chinese. Maybe it's Russian. We don't know what it is. I think they do know what it is. But we'll see how this all rolls out.
That's what I like about you, Preston. You just say this is like, okay, this is how it is. And it's this, like, we think, we're thinking that, and yet there's this resistance, it seems like, that's even happened within the ufology community to some degree, to say, well, I don't know, is it really aliens? Are aliens real or not? Or we're still waiting. And we've taken on our own sort of skepticism that I'm not sure is entirely justified when we already know so much about it.
Yeah, calling it a mystery. I mean, really?
I'm with you, man.
Well, even if it's 100% possible they are extraterrestrial, doesn't mean we know much about it other than they are there. There's still a mystery. If they are intelligent beings from other star systems, why are they here? What's their purpose? Why do they play the cat and mouse games with we Earthlings? Is this just a test bed for them? Oh, we're teaching future pilots in the Space Federation how to manage a primitive species so they come to Earth.
Yeah, I get it, but I still feel like the extraterrestrial explanation fits the facts perfectly and fits the evidence. I mean, you can call them time travelers, you can call them interdimensional beings. People think they're demonic. I mean, people have a host of theories about what's going on here. But I think if you just throw away your preconceptions, your beliefs, and just look at the facts, I mean, the evidence speaks for itself. We've got, what, thousands of landing trace cases. We have implant removal cases. We have got medical cases, you know, medical effects, healings, injuries, and the thousands upon thousands of contactee accounts. And just builds up to a point where I think we pretty much know what's going on, and we pretty much know the ET agenda. We may not know where they're from exactly, but even, I mean, there's some pretty good accounts pointing towards where they come from. You know, Zeta Reticula, Orion, Cygnus, Andromeda, a bunch of locations have been named. We don't know yet, but I think we're getting close.
Well, we may indeed be. And a lot more to come, especially that book and the 25 cases that are in your book that we're all going to be quite curious about. Preston Dennett joins us with Gene and Randall. means you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So positive times in the UFO field after all the disappointments. Of course, Preston's new book is wondrous. 25 True UFO Encounters. Now, we're going to go on and on about what might be happening from the Pentagon UAP Task Force, but I want to throw one thing at you, a comment from somebody that you probably know, and that's Kevin Randall. And Kevin is a little cynical about the subject. He says, well, maybe this is Condon 2.0, echoing the Condon report, building up expectations, then disappointing us. You think there's a possibility of that?
Yeah, I do. Because I was thinking about the other previous government studies. There's the Condon Committee. There's the Robertson Panel. It's Project Blue Book. And every single one of them had these same exact conclusions. There's nothing to it. There's no threat to national security. That's what they said. I still couldn't explain a number of the cases that were in their reports. And now there's all this words about a threat. This is a threat, you know, threat identification program. I'm really not sure that that's going to change a whole lot. Maybe they will call it a threat, but still say there's nothing to it. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I'm really curious to see how they're going to spin this, because that is how they've generally handled UFO reports from the beginning. Hoaxes, hallucinations, misperceptions. Well, that's not going to work anymore. There's pressure on every side, I think, the contactee side, UFO researchers, perhaps even the ETs themselves. They are dealing directly with the phenomena. I mean, they said we've got pilots seeing this stuff daily. So I think they've painted themselves into a corner a little bit. I don't think this is something they're doing willfully, dragging their feet. Their hand is being forced. I think they're probably freaking out a little bit about how to handle this.
Well, there's the public pressure, too. We're seeing, I think, an unprecedented, at least in my lifetime, amount of public pressure from much more credible news sources to get the information out there.
Yeah, it's in the political arena now. It's, you know, senators talking about it, representatives, and President Obama came on TV and made positive statements. And
it's not just on, like, you know, the shows that you see, like Ancient Aliens or whatever, where you could kind of go, oh, yeah, well, you know, maybe or whatever, or science fiction. It's in mainstream news now.
Yeah, finally. Oh, my God. Been ignored forever. There has been no movement within official circles since I came into this field. 30 years, really.
Yeah. Yeah, this is your 20th book. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks very much.
When you get to 25 books, Preston, gold watch, or does that take 50?
Haven't thought about that. No, I want a UFO. That's what I want.
No doubt. Christine did the artwork again, I see, too. I love it. That reminds me kind of like of the one that I saw when I was back in my teens out in BC, how I even made a drawing similar to that, so that's kind of cool.
Really happy to have her working along with me. She's an excellent artist. Glad my brother married her.
In the introduction, it says that you've interviewed over the years hundreds of people. Maybe give us a little bit of an idea of what it's like to be Preston Dennett and being in the field this long and interviewing so many people and where you live. Like, tell our listeners kind of where you live and what it's like being Preston Dennett.
Well, all right. I live here in Southern California. And grew up very skeptical of UFOs. Never in a million years thought this would be what I'd be doing. But it hit me pretty hard in 1986. Heard a report on the news about a sighting over Alaska. And made the mistake of asking family members what they thought of this ridiculous pilot who's obviously lying about what he saw or misperceiving. And it was my brother Mark, who actually married my sister-in-law, who did the artwork. He's like, no, I chased one down the road. My friends were there. We all saw it. It was a metallic saucer, dome on top, treetop level. A really amazing story. And that was just the icebreaker. I had a lot of people within my family, friends, and coworkers who had really dramatic encounters. And that was bad news for me. I was not happy about it. It was a big adjustment. I went straight to the bookstore at one point, and I'm like, I'm going to disprove these guys. I'm going to show them it's swamp gas.
That way.
No, yeah, so one thing led to another, and yeah, I started investigating this stuff, and I just can't let it go. It's fun.
I actually didn't know that about you. That's really interesting. You started off as trying to disprove it. That's really... And we do hear stories like that, but, I mean, with you, I just always thought you were just kind of like, into it from the beginning. That's pretty interesting.
Oh, no, I hated it. I mean, I really did not like it at all. I thought people were seeing UFOs were, I don't want to be mean about it, but I was. I thought they were full of it. I thought they were just not thinking clearly. But I was wrong. I'll admit it. I was very wrong.
Well, at least you admit you were wrong. We have people who run around there and they never admit they're wrong. They go on and on. It still means something is going on and we should understand it. My position was ET at the beginning. Then I saw all these other variables and I said, you know, we need to understand more about it. It still may be ET, but just the fact that we have something going on there that exhibits apparent intelligent control, engages in maneuverability that we cannot duplicate, that in and of itself is a mystery. Regardless of what it is a mystery. Now, if it's ET, the question would be then, and we can ask it and pursue this in the next segment or two, how is the government going to handle that? If they're confronted with that, saying, you know, we're going there. Literally speaking, every person who has talked about it so far, I'm not talking about a Tom DeLonge like a true believer, but the ex-CIA people and government representatives still working with the government like Senator Rubio. All of these people are saying everything that would lead towards that explanation, but stopping short of saying it. Notice that?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm worried about. I kind of get it. Because if you say, oh, this is extraterrestrial, no, these are aliens from other planets, that's opening up a giant, giant can of worms. What about the people who are being taken on board? What about, you know, all these prior incidents that have been happening for decades? The Eisenhower meeting, the alleged Eisenhower meeting at Edwards Air Force Base. Or, you know, the Roswell incident. That's going to come back to haunt these guys. So I think that's why they're like, how are we going to handle this? There is just a tidal wave of cases just hanging right over their heads. I feel for them just a little bit, but they've made their own bed. This is their own darn fault for handling, you know, bungling this the way they've done for so long.
We have these bundles of announcements to present. Then we're with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At Saturday's Republican convention in North Carolina, former President Trump is telling China they must pay. The former president also calling out medical director Tony Fauci amidst Fauci's claim that COVID wasn't made in a Chinese lab.
But he's been wrong on almost every issue, and he was wrong on Wuhan and the lab also, very wrong.
Trump also saying China inflicted $16 trillion of economic damage onto the United States and claimed the lives of thousands. Phoenix, Arizona fire officials say Saturday's fire is requiring more personnel than any other fire in the city's history. More than 200 firefighters engaged the blaze on the west side of the city. It engulfed multiple buildings and started at a recycling center. You're listening to USA Radio News. A new survey from Ramsey Solutions says 42% of consumers with debt say the pandemic has been a financial setback they don't think they can come back from, compared to 27% of people without consumer debt. The survey also found those without consumer debt, 45%, were more likely to save stimulus money than those with debt, which is 31%. Ramsey Solutions President Dave Ramsey making sense of those numbers on Fox News.
Obviously, if you've got debt, you're likely to use the money to pay your bills. And so, because, you know, you got more money going back out the door. And so, again, this points to what Ramsey's been doing for 30 years, getting people out of debt, because it puts you into a position of strength. And those that didn't have that were more likely to save their stimulus check, which, oh, by the way, stimulated nothing in the economy because it went into a savings account.
More news can be found online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Yes, the bundle of announcements. They've really dug their trenches. And now they have to respond or not. Also, they could go in the middle, which is they release a report saying we still believe this deserves extra investigation. We're still working on it. Goodbye.
Hey, I would be happy enough with that. What I don't want to see is them just backpedaling.
Now, just as I was suggesting there, before the announcement came out, the government appears to be taking a middle-of-the-road approach. We can't prove spaceships. We can't prove they're not spaceships. A cop-out.
They know what this is. To show us blurry photos and then perhaps a testimony from a pilot or two, or we might get maybe a piece of metal. That's what I'm kind of suspecting they're going to show us, because the Pentagon did say, and I'll just quote them directly, "We have material from otherworldly vehicles," end quote. They said that.
What is the source of that particular quote?
It was former Pentagon employees. Yeah, look it up. I'm not kidding. This is all over the internet. That was, I think, the biggest step we've actually had. They're not quite saying these are aliens when I think they know. They know it's aliens. I think we have the craft. It's not just Roswell. There's hundreds of cases of UFO crashes. Hundreds. Not just a couple. Not just a handful. A lot.
That doesn't make much sense. It's like I know we've talked in the past, Preston, and you're willing to go probably further than I am. I'm not even sure that there's ever even been one crash, personally. I mean, I know that there's all these stories out there, but if you can get an interstellar ship here, why would it all of a sudden just, like, decide when it finally gets to Earth that it's going to crash? I mean, we can land landers on Mars that are even unmanned. Yeah, we've had some crashes, but those are, like, primitive compared to whatever these other craft are. Like, and for hundreds of them to crash? I mean, that just... It just doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, well, I was kind of surprised. I have to tell you, I've written books on a number of states, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and New York. All of them have accounts of UFO crashes. So you're kind of stuck with the evidence. I think what we're looking at is a situation where they're here in very large numbers. Maybe that's why. Nobody's perfect. Can only speculate. But the fact is, there are many, many people who are saying this.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's like, you know, we're in the same field, so we know about the claims. But then it's getting into, you know, the material evidence. Then you think that if there were that many crashes, there'd be a lot more material evidence. But and they say, oh, well, it's all been cleaned up and sanitized. And it's like, well, isn't that convenient? And yeah. So, and of course, quite a bit of it could be actually our own stuff that they're just using the UFO story as a cover for, which they have done in the past. I'm a little bit hesitant that there's been that many crashes, but I'm certainly with you on the fact that we've got alien visitation going on. And I'm with Gene that we don't know for sure exactly where it's from, but I'm also with you with that it's probably something interstellar, because I can't see it coming from any other planet in our solar system.
Yeah, I should point out here when we talk about crashes, we have Kingman, Arizona. No evidence that there was anything serious going on there. Aztec, New Mexico. That story originated in a book from Frank Scully, a gospel columnist, from two confidence men. Now, I have looked into this thing. I interviewed Scott Ramsey, read his book, and then interviewed a former engineer, retired gentleman, who lived in Aztec during the time this thing happened. There was no cultural memory whatever. A lot of the information in Ramsey's book, and he's one of the premier investigators of this, was shown to be inaccurate. There is really no evidence that the Aztec crash ever occurred. Roswell, something happened. You can say it was a test. You can say it was crash dummies. You can say it was a balloon. You can say it was ET. Something happened that we do not have a final explanation for. And that would be certainly enough, sufficient to show evidence if we can prove it's really ET. The thing here, Preston, is I won't dispute that there might be a lot of crashes out there for getting the stuff that doesn't hold up. But it would indicate ET has some pretty poor quality control on their craft, and they're crashing all the time. Also, I think if they did crash, wouldn't they arrange to get rid of the debris as soon as possible?
Yeah, I mean, we can only speculate. I think they probably have done that in a number of cases. Yeah, the whole UFO crash aspect of this phenomena is puzzling to me, because here we have the very best evidence you could possibly have. Actual hardware, actual bodies, and yet none of it is in the public arena at all. All we have is people talking about it. So it's kind of an enigma there. It's the very best evidence and also kind of the worst in a way, because we don't have any of it that we can examine. Looking at the Roswell case, people have been interviewed for pretty much every aspect of that case. Radar operators who saw it coming down, first-hand eyewitnesses who saw it coming down, people who guarded the wreckage, people who transported the wreckage, you know, people who examined the wreckage at Wright Pat. There's, what, 50 books on this case? There's definitely something to the Roswell incident. I think that's the grandfather of all UFO cases. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, I'm with you on. I mean, there's something happened there. Yeah, both you guys, for sure. Definitely something. Exactly what, for sure. We don't still know yet, but very compelling. I mean, if there was any compelling case, Roswell is still it. Getting back to when you first were getting into ufology and you were a skeptic yourself, I'm kind of interested in the process of how you went from that to becoming a believer. And, you know, what process was it that you went through that really turned you around on it?
It didn't happen overnight, I can tell you that. Actually, a pretty painful process. I was not happy for years. I'm still not happy. I'm still trying to get over it. I remember, I think I was, a couple of things started to really turn me around. I was talking to a lady at work. By this point, I had, you know, read the Betty and Barney Hill incident, Travis Walton, you know, the Betty Andreasen story. And I was talking with this lady at work who had seen UFOs, and she's describing how these things were darting around, and in walks Dorothy, another lady I'd worked with for years. She's like, oh, you guys are talking about UFOs? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you know, I saw one. I'm like, Dorothy, really? What? And Dorothy tells me this incredible story. She was at the library. She's just 14, 15 years old. Library closes at 9 o'clock. She knows exactly what time it is. And her mother comes to pick her up right when the library closes. And that's when this UFO drops down out of the sky. This is the Pio Pico Library in Koreatown, Southern California. It's hovering right across the street, right over the telephone wires. I'm like, oh, telephone wires. I've heard that before. She describes a typical saucer, colored lights around the circumference, silent, metallic. They get into the car. They're all a little bit nervous. The kids are excited, but the mother's nervous. I interviewed all three of them, and they drive home. And Dorothy's like, well, you know, we live 5 minutes away from the library. We go home. We run up to the second story of the house. This object is still hovering outside. It darts back and forth a few times and takes off. I'm like, wow, you know, interesting story. She's like, here's the weird thing, Preston, and I don't even know what to make of this. We left the library at 9. We live 5 minutes away. And we looked at the clock, and it's 10:15. And I have no idea what happened to the time. And her friend Carol, who was there, lived just down the street. She had to be home by 9:15. So she was an hour late. None of them, all three of them, were completely confused about the time. And that was a huge red flag for me, because I knew what missing time was, and they had never heard of it. So that was a turning point, one of the turning points for me. Yeah, another was when I had a direct family member describe a gray alien. I'm like, oh my God, she was just going down the list. She's like, I don't know what this was. She had never even considered the possibility it could be an alien.
Let's consider these possibilities. More to come with Preston, Gene, and Rendell. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, certainly, Preston, I'm sure most people who have unusual encounters of this sort never consider that they'd be seeing something like that.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, back in 1986, 88, when I really started digging in, there weren't a whole lot of books on this. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of information. None of these people I was interviewing had read anything. It wasn't part of the popular culture like it is today. I mean, everyone knows what a gray alien looks like. Not back then. So to hear people describing this was pretty, you know, mind-blowing to me.
Now, the point being here is there were lots and lots of UFO books and magazine articles and such. But I agree that gray aliens wasn't a major subject.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I mean, now they're used to advertise everything from, you know, cell phones to pizza. But no, back then, this was not really saturating our culture like it is today.
Yeah, I remember before the internet that one of my favorite things would be to go to the used bookstore, and I would find this, you know, this little section where they had the UFO books to see if they had anything new. And over time, I collected, you know, everything I could. I don't know about you, Preston, but I've got this whole collection of old classic UFO books, and I just would get anything I could. But that's what we did in those days. Or we subscribed to newsletters. Gene, you will remember the newsletters. You took part in editing newsletters, and that's how people got their information in those days.
Yep. There's the MUFON Journal. APRO was the first organization. They had a little newsletter. Yeah, that was where you went. I joined MUFON right away, became a field investigator, took their test. There was not a lot of places to go to for UFO information.
What made you decide to write your first book? How did that happen?
Actually, I was in the field for a good 10 years before I wrote my first book. I'd written about 30 articles by that point and got embroiled in this huge case, this wave of sightings over Topanga Canyon. And there was a wave of sightings on June 14th, 1992. The editor of the local newspaper had called me up. They had received a bunch of calls. There was a police tape that was leaked to me. And he's like, see if you can find some more witnesses. Because, you know, I actually grew up there. And that wasn't that hard. I knew a lot of people who lived there. So suddenly I had, like, you know, 30 stories about what happened in this one area. And a number of cases on that one night. And it was Christy, my sister-in-law. I was like, Preston, you have got to put a book out about this. I'm like, what? You know, really? It's like, yeah, this is an incredible story. You should really consider writing a book about it. I thought, wow, hey, maybe you're right. At that same exact time, I had run across a bunch of UFO healing cases. Well, actually, this lady I had interviewed described this incredible healing case where she had a tumor removed by the ETs. And I was going to write an article about that, but I started digging in and I found like 30 or 40 cases. So I'm like, wow, that might even be a better book. That's when I started like, maybe I should. And that actually turned out to be my first book, UFO Healings, 100 True Cases. Yeah, on the heels of that came 1 in 40, which is all the cases that I had first interviewed, you know, family members, coworkers, friends, and UFOs over Topanga. That came right after that, and I never looked back.
So yeah, 35 years later, you've got book number 20, and we're talking about 25 True UFO Encounters by Preston Dennett. So let's start off with a few cases. Let's go through a couple of these kind of just briefly. Let's see here. We've got a whole list. A school teacher encounters a 15-foot-tall mantis alien during a morning jog outside her home.
Yeah, I love this story. She's a great witness, very well-educated, gave a great interview, very well-spoken, funny. An amazing story. She actually contacted me because she had never heard of anyone seeing what she saw until she read one of my books, which described a very similar praying mantis ET, a very, very tall one. And this was 2006. She lived in a little suburb in O'Fallon, Illinois, pretty rural area, and loves to take a morning jog very early, like 5 a.m. or so. Goes out with her dog, like she always does, and goes down her street, another street, and gets on 3rd Street and is jogging up to this T intersection to a fairly major road. It's abandoned at night. I mean, no one's on it, but during the day, it's a pretty busy street. So she's coming up to this T intersection and sees what looks like a man on stilts walking down the center of the road. Her dog's noticed it first. He stopped, pricked up his ears, and looked. She's thinking, oh, it's going to be a deer, a fox, or something. Not unusual to see wildlife. And she sees this man on stilts. She's like, well, that's weird. And this guy walks right under the streetlight, which is at the corner of the intersection. And it's almost at the level of the streetlight, which is, that's how she knew this thing had to be 15 feet high. And it wasn't a man on stilts. She says it was an insectoid. It was a human insect. And she could see it very clearly under the streetlight. It looked like a praying mantis. Short little arms hooked up in front of it. Very long stick-like legs. It was making giant 10-foot strides, moving quite swiftly. Gray in color, not completely one color, sort of mottled gray. And it had its head bent down and was looking, sort of scanning the road back and forth, as if searching for something. And just quickly moved by her, didn't see her. And she, as soon as it moves by, I probably would have turned around and run, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She didn't. She ran after this thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened? How did it disappear then? Or what? See, you got us hooked now. We can't just leave it there. I mean, you could say you've got to buy my book now, but.
No. I'll tell you what happened because it's kind of interesting. She runs up to the T intersection. You can see, she can still see it. It's moving faster than she's jogging. She didn't take off in a sprint to go up to it because she was a little bit nervous about this thing. But she was also very curious. She had never seen anything like this. And ran along towards it and watched it turn to the right and go off into a cornfield. Like, wow, really? She lost track of it and didn't see it after that. She went out the next morning jogging. I asked her, I'm like, did you go out the next morning? She's like, oh, yeah, of course I did. She never saw it again. I'm like, well, why do you think it was there? Is there anything in this neighborhood that, is at all unusual? And she says, well, it's a pretty rural area. There's cornfields. There's a school nearby, a little suburb. She says, but there is one thing. that might be important. I live about 6 miles away as the crow flies from Scott Air Force Base. So pretty close to an Air Force Base there. And when she said Scott Air Force Base, well, my ears pricked up because I've heard UFO sightings in connection with Scott before. There was a pretty famous incident in the year 2000, 6 years earlier, where UFOs skirted around Scott Air Force Base. A bunch of police officers saw an object over several counties. So that kind of was interesting to me. But after doing some more research, I found out that her sighting occurred just a few months after the Chicago O'Hare sighting at Chicago O'Hare Airport. Really famous sighting, you've probably heard of it. A UFO hovered over the control tower, seen by baggage handlers, control tower operators, pilots, people at the airport. It was allegedly photographed, punched a hole through the low cloud cover. A great case. So maybe there's a connection there, I don't know. Not too far away from where she was at. Definitely an interesting case.
Makes you wonder if there was like a cornfield circle out there somewhere. You know, you could just imagine it goes off into the cornfield and its ship is out there in the field somewhere and then it takes off.
I really wonder what it was looking for. Did it drop the keys to its UFO?
Damn it, where did those keys go anyways?
I should point out here, we've got a break here in a moment. I should point out we did a number of episodes on the O'Hare case beginning in January of 2007. So if you check our archives, you go to theparacast.com and you can search any topic, including O'Hare. So definitely it's easy for you to find all our 700-plus episodes. Imagine that. More to come with Preston, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.